Well, you guys have fun. That's awesome.
I know. I know. I really love working there, and it's just such a fun environment. I love that it doesn't feel like work when you go.
Oh, I know. And I think that's pretty rare.
Yeah.
In the industry, just in general,
mm-hmm.
to have a place where you like actually like want to go and you don't get burned out.
Yes. Yeah.
So, you guys are the perfect little trio.
Have you always been doing aesthetics?
I got licensed in California in 2012,
mm-hmm.
and then worked there for a while. And then my husband and I met back up. We have a little cute story of our reconnection. We were friends in high school, and so he was already living here. And so I moved here and took a break when with my first son. I didn't have the availability to stay home, so I had to go straight back to work. So this gave me the chance to be able to stay home with our youngest together. So we have yours, mine, and ours. And stayed home for about 5 years. I mean, then COVID hit. So then I went back in right after. Basically, COVID was, for the most part, better.
Mm-hmm.
So I think 2021 is when I opened up a space. So I've just always been in skin. I've always stayed relevant and studying. Then I went into getting licensed and certified in microneedling, because in California you can't do that.
Really?
Yeah.
You have to be like a higher level.
Or like work in a med spa. But yeah, that is not for the esthetician. And then dermaplaning was not a thing back when I got licensed. I think they just passed law that estheticians could dermaplane within the last 3 years, maybe. Hmm. So was able to get those certifications, kind of refresher courses with peels and stuff, and then got my own space running. And I only work one day a week right now. It's kind of perfect. It allows me to stay home and be with the kids. And my other passion is nutrition and health and stuff. So I'm really big on making sure, like, I have bagels I'm making right now.
I love that.
At home. So it's just, it's a lot. It's all encompassing, but they all go hand in hand.
Yeah.
Like skin and what we eat.
Yes, absolutely.
And how that like just plays a role in the aging process that we're experiencing, maybe potential skin conditions and disorders that we don't, I think the common society doesn't really know. Mm-hmm. I mean, they don't go to school for that, so they don't really know what's going on.
Absolutely. And I feel like it's only getting worse too, right? Our food's becoming more and more artificial and
ultra processed.
Yes. And so we're getting more skin issues, more eczema, more, you know, reactions to things over time. I feel like a lot of these things we didn't have when, at least like 20 years ago, and now it's very common.
Oh, for sure. And I think it's the hard thing with that too, is that I just think that the American dream, if I were to like take this big picture, is we're told to, or we almost have to work two jobs. And so the mom a lot of times is out of the house, or the dad, if you have a passion for cooking, whoever it is, we're always doing things quick.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, kids are used to eating fast food and all of that. So it's really just like comes full circle. And then so much is related to inflammation in our bodies that reflects in our skin.
Yeah.
So that has been something that is a huge like put on my heart. But I did go to school before aesthetics, so long before that I was a nurse.
Mm-hmm.
My nursing major was, that's what it was. I was going to move to Hawaii and I was going to go to school there. And then you know, my story turned, and then I went in, I took one class in nursing school for my prerequisites, and that was a nutrition class. And I was still on my path for nursing, but that stuck with me. And so I knew that that was something I wanted to do. So when I decided not nursing wasn't for me, I went into holistic nutrition. And so that's kind of where and why that's just played such a big role in my life and my poor children. They have to put up with me and all the things that I put in my muffins and breads and making things from scratch. So
I love that, though. That's, I feel like we need to start waking up more and thinking about making our own food and producing our own food, things like that. It's hard work, but it's worth it.
Yeah, and I think starting from the beginning of just like, what changes can I make right now, rather than trying to take all of it on, because then that is so overwhelming. Mm-hmm. Like, sourdough is such a big deal right now, and trying to take that on and feel like you've accomplished something but making bread. And so our family has tried to remove seed oils.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So that is such an inflammatory oil, like the oils just in general is so inflammatory in the body. And that causes so many things. And so when we removed that, I'm like, it's literally in everything. Breads, like everything. So I'm like, okay, yeah. So now I'm trying to make my own sandwich bread. I mean, things, it does take time and it can be overwhelming. But I was just listening to a podcast myself not that long ago. And they're like, just start with something. Like, don't try and take it all on. Start with what you can. And then take on the next thing, and then really taking the time on the weekends or whatever day you have off to kind of meal plan and prep for the rest of the week. So you find, and then in reality too, it really does save money. Like, we're in a place right now where we can invest in, like, we don't want to have to invest in all of these takeout foods, but we find ourselves not having time because we're so busy.
Yes. Yeah.
So
I think that, starting small and doing your little one thing at a time and cutting out certain things one at a time
right.
is so good.
Yeah.
And understanding that not everything is bad for you, like eggs and those things, you know, we always heard about like cholesterol and all these things, but actually it's really good for you.
I know. The tide is turning, though. I think people are starting to understand that maybe the food pyramid is not, back when it was first made, is not what, I mean, that's a whole other rabbit hole, but it's not what it used to be. It's really, truly not what's best for us. And I mean, you could look at that going way back into
evolution.
Thank you. Back in evolution, when like hunters and gatherers, we didn't have access to wheat and flour and processed foods. So our bodies don't know what to do with those things.
Mm-hmm. We had a lot of meat.
Uh-huh. Probably eggs. Like all of those things. Like we need to go back to a little bit of the roots. And I think that's why some of these diets are so popular, like the keto diet. Carnivore diet is so big and popular because they're starting to see how our bodies are actually responding to that on a healthy way. And you look at it too, is you hear some of these people talking, I've been on the carnivore diet and my skin has never looked so good. Mm-hmm. But it's like, well, why? Let's take it to the next step and ask, why is it? And so you could look at that with our food, but you could also look at it as like, how and why is our skincare going in the way that it is, with all of these preservatives and additives and waxes and fillers into our skincare that may be looking good initially, but long term is actually potentially de-aging, like aging us and causing skin like sensitivities and issues. So we need to start looking a little bit fuller, full circle here, and maybe why is that? Mm-hmm. And people are producing skincare for the vast majority, and people are just getting plugged in to this box that I'm just going to go to Sephora or Ulta. And not that all of those products are bad, but they're trying to say, well, oh, I want this product because it's supposed to do this. And I saw this person advertising it or is an influencer, and so I need to go buy this product line. And they put themselves in this box, really not understanding skin themselves, and they're just going to go buy it because they saw so-and-so advertising it.
And I think that's the scary part too, is so many people just jump on fads without doing research and truly understanding what they're doing and the why. They just, oh, I saw this on TikTok and I'm going to do it because someone said it works. It's like, no, don't do that.
Especially when you see that there's like 10-year-olds, 10 to 12, 15-year-olds using retinol.
Yeah.
Just because this trending skincare line has it in there. And it's like, that's just not appropriate for you at that age.
I feel like skincare is getting, like, people are looking more into skincare younger and younger.
Yeah.
And it's this new fad thing to do. But really, you can do some harm when you start using too many actives too early.
Right.
And it's not beneficial for you.
Oh, no. And I mean, it's great that they're trying to develop that routine and habit. That's fantastic. But let's keep it simple and basic. Like, what it's more important at that age is really just developing the routine and habit than it is necessarily let's jump on board with all of these heavy product lines that are just flat out too old for you. You just do not need those product lines yet.
Right.
So I think that's, unfortunately, that is kind of the disadvantage of social media and the influence that we just feel like we need to start doing these things at a young age. Or, I mean, I had a friend message me a couple months ago and she sent me a photo of her face and it looked like she had a severe burn on her skin and it was so bright. Yes, she leans a little on the sensitive side, but we need to look internally sometimes with why our skin is responding that way. And I said, what did you do? Like, what did you put on? What is that from? And she's like, well, I got this vitamin C product from Sephora and it says that it's for sensitive skin. I was like, okay. And she's like, Amy, it is so painful. Like, it hurt her, like, her skin hurt for, like, 5 days, she said. Just took so long. And she said, this is the worst reaction that I've ever had. And I think that's the unfortunate thing is that people are either – I don't exactly know why. I think maybe there's this misconception with going to a licensed professional that their products are going to be more expensive. But – than going to Ulta or Sephora. And that may be in some cases true, but at what cost?
Right.
Like having a serious reaction where you can't even go to work now because that's what she said. I had to take a couple of days off of work because my skin looks that bad and it hurts. So it's really understanding that's not always the case.
Mm-hmm.
And if they don't understand something like vitamin C, which can cause sensitivity, but now she has this bad view of vitamin C because of the reaction she's had with a couple of different products. She doesn't even want to try it. And I'm like, well, let's take a step back and look at, first of all, go return that product.
Yeah.
Let's get your money back, that investment that you put in, and then let's see what we can do otherwise. So I think vitamin C is one of those product lines, along with retinol. Like there's some big product lines that are product ingredients that are amazing and offer amazing results, but there is definitely maybe a misconception or really not understanding because it's multifaceted when it comes to some of these products.
Yeah. And yeah, but retinol is definitely one that I feel like people try and then they don't want to give it a chance. They don't want to get through that hard phase of it and then they give it up. But I mean, there are products out there that won't cause all of those issues that you see with retinol. And it's actually probably my favorite thing for my skin besides like my other skincare products. Just feel like
is
it
retinol.
Treats. Yeah.
Yeah.
Just treats so much different issues. But
yeah. Well, and it's, I feel like there's sometimes people, there's two types of people. And then there's maybe someone in the middle. But you have people that want to overuse because they really want to see results. And so they're going to go gung-ho on their vitamin C and their retinol, and they're going to use it every single night rather than allowing their skin. I was listening to some of my training videos with a new product line that I brought in. And they brought up a perfect example of when you are using product lines that have these active ingredients, you need to view this just like you would with working out. Like when we're using vitamin C or retinol or acids in general, that is your workout. And now you need to rest that muscle group or that your body to allow for it to regenerate and heal. But if we're going in with it every single night, or even every other night when it's supposed to be two times, two, maybe three times a week, what are we doing to our skin like we would if we were working out too much? Like we're never allowing that body to heal and regenerate the muscle just like we would our face and our skin. So I thought that that was like the perfect, I think most people can understand that. Mm-hmm. So I've been using that to educate my clients on, please don't use this every night. It is working, even though you're not seeing flaking with the retinol. It does not mean that it's not working. You know, things take time. Like, you need to see results. It's not going to be overnight. It will take time for you to see those results, but it is worth it.
Mm-hmm. To stick through.
Yeah.
And invest in good products.
100%. Too. Yeah. I think what I have noticed when it comes to, as an example, vitamin C, we see that the vast majority of vitamin C products, whether it's a lotion, a moisturizer, or a hydrator, or a serum, they're using the cheapest, most unstable form of vitamin C, which is L-ascorbic acid, or labeled just plain ascorbic acid. Unfortunately, if you were to go to Sephora, Ulta, like if we were to do a little walkthrough study and pull out some of those products, the vast majority probably is that. And so when I called up the pharmacist and I was just wanting to make sure this week, like, let me ask you a few questions like about this. You're a pharmacist, you know, he's a cosmetic chemist, like he makes his own line and he's a nutritionist also. He's fascinating. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, I just want to understand this a little bit better so I can educate my clients more. And he said the fact that companies use ascorbic acid as their form of vitamin C is probably one of his biggest frustrations in the industry, just in general. He's like, it is criminal, basically. Like, that's how much he felt about this, because we really don't understand that it might be a good form in, like, naturally, but when we're making it, A, it can say that, but just across the board with vitamin C, we don't know truly. It will say like, oh, it's 5 to 10, maybe 20% most. But mm-hmm. usually it falls between the 5 to 10% of vitamin C in the product. But after, over time, it starts to diminish. So from packaging to opening that bottle, it is diminishing. Mm-hmm. And then from over time of you opening it and using it, it's continuing to diminish. So there's that. But it's just the simple fact that it is unstable. And so for your viewers, like, instability of that, like, on a science-y term, like, we need to fill that because of the instability can cause aging from the pure fact that it is we're losing that electron. And so then that can cause oxidative stress. And that is why it's unstable. Mm-hmm. And so when we create oxidative stress in our skin, that can cause sensitivity. That causes aging over time. And so we're not really thinking about that because we just don't know, right? Like,
right. And it could be happening and you have no idea. Like,
oh, yeah.
You just don't know.
Well, and I think exactly to your point, like, you just don't know. And for you to have a serious reaction like my friend did, that would be that, depending on what her skin was currently in, that in what state it was at, but how expired was the product? How old was the product from packaging? So in order for her to experience that level of a reaction, like, yeah. And so she showed me the back of it and I was like, yep, that's ascorbic acid. Let's not use that. And so, you know, when I was doing some research on just vitamin C after that, I really wanted to educate myself more on it. And so I was like looking it up and I'm like, there's no wonder why people really, it's just confusing. There's so much out there and there's being so much pushed on you. Like we were saying, like with the influencing in social media, we think that we can just go cocktail our own regimen for home based on what this person is recommending, but not really understanding. And that's why us licensed professionals do what we do, is because we really want to help people and formulating a product line or regimen for them that's based on their skin type. But going back to vitamin C, like, there's 7 main types of vitamin C, L-ascorbic being the most widely used. However, it's highly unstable, can cause aging with the oxidative stress. The percentage diminishes quickly. But then there's also 3 different forms. and like delivery methods. Mm-hmm. So there's like water soluble, there's oil soluble, and then there's fat soluble. So if somebody is unable to come see a licensed professional, learning to read ingredients would be like probably my biggest recommendation is, okay, so now we learn that L-ascorbic acid is not the best choice. So what would be? Okay, then let's look at, if you're really looking at wanting to deliver results, let's go with the fat soluble, because in overall, that's going to penetrate deepest into our skin. That actually hits the dermis. And so it's going to be offering the results that we actually want and the reason why we're investing in our skincare. And then the best form is the tetrahexyldecyl ascorbate. So it's like THDA is the abbreviation. That is going to be your best vitamin C form. And then I have one that is also fat soluble. It's the only one on the market that is that combines both. However, there is a lot of them that are like oil or water soluble of the THDA. Mm-hmm. So that is going to be offering. So for everyone watching, they can start looking at the back and then just trying to educate themselves a little bit more. Try and steer clear of the ascorbic acid. I'm sorry, people, that might be a little controversial, but it really is the truth.
Yeah. And it's important that people understand, I mean, you're spending all of this money at Sephora or Ulta. You're buying all these products, trying it, maybe not continuing to use it. And then you just wasted all this money when you could go to a professional. Most of us have free consultations and find something that's truly going to work on your skin, specific for you and the issues that you have. And it's going to last you. It's going to be worth the money in 100%. The end. You're going to get exactly what you want, exactly what you need. And not be trying to figure it out with over-the-counter products on your own.
Absolutely. And then just jumping from one trend to the next of what product line is currently highlighted in the influencing world of social media, which, I mean, I'm not going to lie. Like, I've tried not in skincare, but I've tried other things here and there. But, yeah, it's just – it really is like we should be going to the people who actually know because we went to school for this.
Yeah, not influencers.
Not influencers. Let's help you out. And in reality, too, is like it's understanding like when we are working out or taking vitamins and supplements, do we see results like right away? Like sometimes it takes a couple of months for us to see those results. And the same thing applies with skin is don't jump on the next like ever so processing or promising result-driven product that your influencer is now sharing. No, you have to stick with some of these products to actually see the results, and you have to allow your skin the time to be able to respond to it, not by using it every single night, using it as directed, and then, you know, it takes time. We didn't see sun damage and aging overnight. That took time for us to develop, so we're not going to expect those results to reverse itself just within, you know, even one bottle of use. Like sometimes it takes like reapplying.
Right. What is your opinion on sunscreen?
That's a hot topic.
I know, because I feel like, you know, we're encouraged to wear sunscreen all the time. And then some are saying, oh, well, you should expose your skin for this amount of time during this day or this time of day, and it's good for you. And I understand at some point, you know, it is good for you, but at what? How do you gauge that? How do you know? And so I want to know what your thoughts are.
Oh, man. I feel like I kind of go with both. I feel like I take a combination of those thought ideas because the hippie in me is like we need 70% of our body exposed to stimulate the hormone, the vitamin D in our body to then, and then that helps with so many things in our overall immunity. So there's that side of things. But then there is the whole topic of the ingredients of vitamin C. So if you're going to ask me specifically, I lean more on the zinc side. I avoid all of the chemical blockers. That's just my own personal take and preference. So if I'm going to be out in the sun, 100%, if you've just had a treatment, please wear your sunscreen. You are going to do more damage by going out in the sun. Please wear your hat. You know, move your visor over when you're driving to shield and protect your face from that big investment you just had, whether it's microneedling, any of the other treatments that you guys do that I don't, that you really peels, like you really need to be protecting that skin. So I will preface with that. But I think the other part here in Idaho is that I'm sure you know this, but we're in that 37th parallel. And so we don't get that, even though the sun is shining, because we are so far removed, I'm hopefully explaining this appropriately, but we're not getting that same level of stimulation of the vitamin D just because we're not as close to the equator. And so we need to be taking vitamin D supplements here. That's been from the advice of all of my functional medicine doctors. That's not me just uneducated and speaking this. So we take vitamin D on a regular basis here, and then especially ramp it up a little bit more during the winter for that purpose. So as far as sun exposure, you can't deny that 80% of our aging is from the sun.
Yeah.
So.
And there's, you know, those studies where, you know, like half the face from drivers, truck drivers is so wrinkled and damaged, and then this side of their face is fine. And you can't deny that that's from the sun, from driving and having that sun on you on the driver's side. So, yeah, I think it's definitely somewhere in the middle for sure.
Yeah. And I think that just goes really back to ingredients, like really paying attention to, like, if you're going to be putting this, like, how much our skin, being the largest organ of our body, how much is our body absorbing of these things? And, you know, that could go down the whole other rabbit hole of, like, the endocrine disruptors and all of that. And that's why that's such a hot topic when it comes to the ingredients of the chemical side. Mm-hmm. And then titanium dioxide being another big one. So we see titanium dioxide is in Skittles, and like that's not in Europe. And so why, you know, all of that, like I'm trying not to go off on a tangent, but that is also another thing is like, well, can we just use zinc? And so it's finally, or it's trying to find maybe a product line that has a good formula. And I'm not going to lie, I found one that is zinc only. It really is, I think, your comfortability, knowing your body, honestly, also knowing your toxic load. So when our body can't remove of toxins because we're eating terrible, we're eating all this processed food, our body can't eliminate. Dr. Pompa is somebody that I absolutely love, and we are going through his program right now, my husband and I, and it's really learning to detoxify ourselves from all of the things that we're eating. So that's another thing too. But if we have a bucket full and then it's just spilling over of all of these toxins that our body is being exposed to, can we actually detox, or can our body process some of these things that we're also putting on topically with some of these products that may or may not be toxic, and that can add to the level of, well, no wonder my skin is freaking out because I've got too much going on internally as well as what we're putting on externally.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts?
I agree. I mean, I think we're getting to a time where we need to start looking at these things, ingredients, and figuring out what we're putting in our body and on our body, and that's causing all of these issues that we didn't have not too long ago. So,
yeah, I mean, 50 years ago, you look at these people, they are aging because they were literally putting body oil, baby oil on their bodies, or tanning oil. And, you know, that had like 5% SPF, but they're going out into the sun and baking and laying out all day. But they were all not dealing with obesity, because they didn't eat what we eat now. And so I really feel like in a lot of ways we're kind of living in a state of a perfect storm, because internally and externally what's going on. So, you know, to my point earlier, it's like, let's take one thing at a time and kind of move on. But skincare being its own world of what is something that we can eliminate one thing at a time? Well, one thing you can eliminate is stop going to buy things that you just don't know whether or not that's good for your skin. And, you know, acne is a whole other topic too, because somebody who has acne, a lot of that's internal. Some of it's genetic. Some of it is a lot of it's inflammatory things that are going on too. And so that is its own thing. But you see these poor kids and even adults dealing with acne, and they're just trying the next thing, putting all of these harsh additive ingredients on there, mm-hmm. and highly active ingredients onto their skin, and it's just going round in circles. They might have a slight improvement in their skin for the first week, and then it starts freaking out again because it's never having the chance to heal. So it's really needing to go see. Again, we'll preach it until we hit the grave. You really need to be going to a licensed professional to understand, like, really what is best for your skin. The skin is not just a really simple topic. It is, there's so much involved in it.
So what are your takes on collagen?
Don't you feel like that's another really hot topic?
It is. I feel like, you know, collagen powders mostly is what I've been hearing a lot about.
And so what have you been hearing? And then I'll share.
Just, you know, that I feel like it's a big thing now. And for me, I feel like, okay, well, how is it going to be absorbed? Mm. What type of collagen is it? Those are my big questions when it comes to people asking me about collagen. I like the idea of stimulating your own collagen and kind of doing that micro damage with microneedling and things like that, and doing it that way. But I don't know much about oral collagens. I just know that when patients say that they're going to start taking it or they are taking it, I just encourage them to, okay, well, make sure you look into how it's absorbed and how much is being absorbed and what type of collagen it is and things like that, so that they're not wasting their money mm-hmm. on something that's not going to work.
Right. Well, I think there's a couple of things when it comes to, like, any supplement is, to my knowledge, collagen would fall under a supplement. So not necessarily regulated as much with the FDA. So the problem, going back to all of our topic on what we're doing internally with the ultra-processed foods and everything, is there's so much that is being developed and mass-produced that there's heavy metals in a lot of them. So when you're taking a supplement like collagen, or even drinking coffee with, like, malt, that's another big thing, is that we're like internally paying attention to. So how can you vet these products out and these companies out? Well, A, you know, finding a reputable product line, collagen supplement that is going to be ideally organic or is coming from, like, grass-fed sources. So that has always been something that's, like, number one, is it grass-fed? Like, what are the sources coming from? What types of collagen? So there's five different types, and they're all going to address some of them. Like, our skin is types 1 and 3. Mm-hmm. So then the other ones are going to be helping with our bones and joints and everything, ligaments. So I'm of the mindset, if I'm going to invest in a product line or a supplement, I want it to, let's just go for all of it, because I am at the gym regularly. I want my bones and I want my joints and ligaments to last me a long time. I want the health of those. So you can take, if you're going above and beyond, you can make your own collagen. That is through bone broth. So I make that regularly, and I pour that into my soups and rice and all that stuff that I make for our family at home. But if you don't have that option, or you're not going to be using it every single day, taking a powdered form of collagen and really understanding, like, there's so much misinformation. That's such a hot word right now, is you can look in on, like, online and type in, you know, how is collagen work, or what are the best types, and everybody, all the sources are going to come up with different opinions. So through the research, because I studied this a couple of years ago, there was something that people were sharing, like, well, I heard collagen, if you put it in your hot coffee, it basically kills it. Yes, it does. At 572 degrees. Like, I don't think anyone's drinking their hot coffee at 572 degrees. So it's just, if you're reading that headline,
right,
you're automatically thinking, okay, but we don't take the time to actually read all of it. And we generally, like, genuinely may not have the time to sit here and do all that study. But because this is something I'm passionate about, I love the nutrition side, that actually is going to affect our skin. I really took the time to do a lot of research for a couple of weeks on just collagen alone. And I came across a supplement that I've been using for the last couple of years. And I can link or share all of that stuff with you, too. And then now there is another through my skincare line that I've been using. He's got his own as well. And that's more in a capsule form rather than a powder. So the convenience, I think, is another thing for people is it going to be another pill I have to take? Or is it going to be something that I can put in my coffee really fast? People might have different preferences on like how they're going to take it. So the big things, like I said, is the grass-fed. What are the different types? Have they been vetted for heavy metals? Because we don't need all of those heavy metals for our bodies to try and detox from. And I think those are the three main points. But I was listening to another podcast, and there is a doctor. He was sharing, he's a plastic surgeon, sharing on how he was doing his own study of collagen. And there's actually been studies done maybe 20 years ago, not as much, or maybe even 10 years ago, but within the recent past, there were no studies done back then, but the recent past, there has been in the last 5 years, that he calls them micro studies. Instead of it being a big clinical study done on the benefits of collagen, these are like a couple of different studies, but they're in the group of about maybe 1,000 people. So the general consensus after all of these minor or small studies done is the improvement was major. Like, taking collagen on a regular basis is offering huge benefits, not just in the skin, but inside too. Mm-hmm. So I think when we take all of that into consideration, like, collagen, yes, it is safe, it is going to be effective. But there's some criteria you need to look into before you just jump straight in and go buy whatever one might be at the grocery store. I know there is like Costco sells Vital Proteins. Like, they have bulk items available to you. I know Vital Proteins has like some good criteria, but I haven't largely looked at it as a whole. But the product line that I did come across, they were actually comparing a lot of these other options out there, mainly your most popular ones. And then they, of course, shared theirs. Another one is like, it's an NSF certified. So like the National Sports Foundation or Federation or something like that, that it's also passing that. And so those are like your high athletic athletes that are taking these supplements to really see the results that they need because they're high performing.
Right.
So do you take collagen?
I don't.
Are you sold now?
I'm going to. I'm gonna. You're gonna send me the link and I'm gonna look into
it. I will send you the link. Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that it's good. And just going back to, it's like, what can we do internally to help our skin and really have it come full circle for us? But that is something that plays a part. And it doesn't just benefit our skin. It benefits the internal too, because it helps with multiple things. But I'm not going to lie, I love a good microneedle.
Yeah.
So, you know, we're getting that stimulation of collagen.
Yeah.
Through treatments like that. And then you can continue helping the regeneration of our skin through taking something like a supplement like that.
Yeah. I do need to do more supplements, things like that, especially, you know, with our diets and things like that. You know, we need to start taking care of our bodies more, not just the outside.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like in some ways, some of that is just a Band-Aid.
Mm-hmm.
So when we try and do so much to our, you know, topically to our skin and everything, we're doing sometimes too much. That it's, like I said, it's just a Band-Aid. We need to be doing internally and externally to really see those results that we that we want. And I myself need to embrace aging. It's not my favorite, but I'm here. So
aging gracefully.
Learning to age gracefully. Yes. Yeah. And then every once in a while getting those Botox services. I need to keep coming and see you soon.
It's I've only started the past couple of years after getting into aesthetics with Dr. John. So I'm new at all of those things on myself as well. So it's been a process and a learning journey.
Can I ask, what did you do before working with Dr. John?
I worked in the hospital.
Okay.
I was a cardiac nurse.
Oh.
And then before that, I was a float nurse. So I did all med surg and stuff. So definitely not as fun as this.
Okay, you like this now?
It's not
as stressful.
It's not as stressful. I feel like I am home, you know, with Dr. John and Steph. I just feel like I'm home.
It's a home away from home.
Yeah, for sure.
Well, and you guys have so much fun.
We do. We do.
You guys, I'm not lying. I get excited and I genuinely laugh at all of the things that you guys are doing. You guys truly can tell that you love one another, and it's just like that brother-sisterly like atmosphere. You have so much fun.
Yeah, it really is great. And I hope that everyone can see that too, because we don't fake it, you know, and I often find myself at work on my days off because I just love hanging out with them.
Oh, that's awesome.
I don't mind coming into work every day if I have someone who wants to come and see me. So,
well, I refer all of my clients to you. I send them all over to you guys. Hey, here's the best injectors in town.
Thank you.
You know, you guys can get all those treatments from you guys. So it's been an honor and a pleasure to be able to like partner with people who are genuine and care. And what I think I've appreciated about your guys' office and clinic is that you guys are educating people on the options, and then you're not trying to push the next product or the next most expensive service they can do. It's like you guys educate, and then the people get to make that decision that they want to. And it's like that whole informed consent, right? It's like you need to be informed about what you're doing and not being pushed to do something and promised. I think that's, what is that phrase, like, under promise over deliver.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So it's like, you know, when we're able to go to a place that is truly and genuine, like you guys are, and not promising a bunch of things that we see in the world and then social media and influencing, is like, you guys are amazing.
Yeah. We strive to, you know, keep you aware, and we just want you to embrace your natural beauty. We don't want to overdo you. We're not trying to sell you a million things. So I really love our path, and we love helping patients. So even if you feel like you can't afford certain things, we try and work with you just so that we feel like everyone deserves some good skincare.
Oh, for sure. And would you say that you agree with the whole idea is like, if you had to pick between skincare or services, what would you have them do?
I would say, I don't know. Yeah, that's a hard one. That's a hard one, because I feel like they go hand in hand, right? Like you can't, it's like going to work out, but then eating McDonald's. Like you gotta, you're doing services, treatments on your face, but you gotta take care of it at home too. So I think finding that balance and seeing what you can afford. I love making treatment plans for patients. And helping them, if they really can't afford certain things, we will help you afford that skincare. And so, yeah, doing both. That's not an option, but both.
Yeah, I mean, let's figure out how we can make it work, people.
Yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
No, I think, and I just, all that I've learned and studied is that microneedling is hands down one of, like, the best things. And it's not crazy expensive.
It's not.
I think people even if have you're doing idea. It,
you know, twice a year, mm-hmm. you know, you can save and do that for sure.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Well, there was that study done not that long ago. I think it was in 08. So, yeah, it's actually been a while. But, you know, was that four services of mm-hmm. – so you do them one a month. And I love Dr. John's explanation because I was, like, trying to ask him about the opus treatment that I did with you guys. And so I was asking him, like, do I have to – like, what does that plan look like? And he's like, well, once a month. And so he was explaining to me – which I explain now to my clients, even mm-hmm. though I don't do opus, I do microneedling, that you really need to hit your service, your next appointment at every 30 days to really have the trajectory of your results be even greater than allowing that our natural aging and cellular turnover to then go back down. So you really want to have the results be yeah. at the best. But the microneedling just in general is like you see that when you do a treatment of 4-6 months after that, your collagen has gone up 400%.
Yep. I love that study.
It's the coolest.
Yeah, it really is. And you don't think you, I mean, that just goes to show you don't need to do the most expensive treatment to get amazing results. Mm-hmm. You don't. You have to be consistent. You have to take care of your skin outside of those treatments. Yeah. And, yeah, consistency is key. If you really 100%. Want it to be your skincare journey, you have to come up with a plan and stick to that plan, and you're going to see amazing results no
Just
matter
give
what.
It time yeah. And be consistent.
Yeah.
And stop going to social media for your all of your skincare
advice.
I agree.
Yes. Come see us.
We're here for you, friends.
Thank you, Amy, being on our podcast.
This was so fun.
Yeah, I loved it. We had a great conversation, and I hope everyone learned something new.
Yes. Well, I hope to come back on again soon.
Yes.